After a two-week pause to focus on the presidential conventions, we're back answering your questions about coronavirus, this time each weekday afternoon. How it spreads, how you can avoid getting it, what you need to know. You can submit your questions by Facebook and Twitter using the hashtag KNXCoronaQuestions or email them to us at coronaquestions@knx1070.com. With us today is Dr. Michael Hurt with the Center for Integrative Medicine in Tarzana.
Dr. Hurt, welcome back. One thing we've been seeing as we learn more about this virus is a number of medications being repurposed to battle COVID-19. What's the latest on that?
Yes, you know, we use these older medications for several reasons. One is that they're off patent, so they typically are very cheap. And second is that they've been around for a long time, so we know they're safe. One of the things we don't want to do when somebody is really sick with a terrible virus like COVID is make them sicker by giving them some new medication that we haven't tested. And so scientists have used medical computer programs to use AI and go through thousands of different types of medications that have been around for a long time to see if any of them would fit like a lock and a key to try to turn down the effectiveness of COVID as it tries to infect us or cause us harm. And so things like hydroxychloroquine, of course, we talked a lot about, is one of those medications. There are others that have been tried as well. Remdesivir is the most successful of the bunch to make it out. But there are two others that are currently being tested. One is apilimod, and the other is clofazimine. Clofazimine is a drug that the WHO has as one of their most important worldwide drugs because it treats leprosy, which is not a big problem in the U.S., but worldwide it's one of the worst types and most common causes of infectious diseases. And this drug has been around for probably 60 years and seems to have some really strong promise against COVID, and studies are just ongoing to see how much we can use that medication to treat COVID patients.
Doctor, we've got a question from one of our listeners, Wendy, and I think I might know the answer to this one. She asks if it's too soon to get a flu shot.
Well, that is a great question, Wendy. You know, and sometimes it is. But remember that a flu shot takes about 2 weeks to kick in. So if you got your flu shot today, it's going to really not even work until mid-September. And typically, the flu season doesn't begin in earnest until about December. But last year, we saw the flu starting in October. So if you took a flu shot today, you'd be 2 weeks ahead of what may be an early flu season. And it'll last about 6 months or 7 months, which should take you through the majority of this flu season, which I think actually is going to be a little more muted this year because we're all being so careful and a little germophobic.
So no dangers in taking it too soon. Go ahead, do it.
Yeah, if you were talking about, you know, July, that's too soon because you're going to run out of time. But right now is good because last year we saw cases, I saw it in my office in October.
All right. Now, speaking of flu season, are there some supplements we should be taking to lower our risk and could help us with the coronavirus as well? Zinc, I mean, help us out here.
Yeah, you know, zinc, exactly right. Zinc has been shown to substantially reduce a flu-like or cold illness by up to 2 days. Now you say, well, what is 2 days? Well, Tamiflu only reduces your risk of flu symptoms by 12 hours, sometimes as little as 8 hours in some studies. So 2 days is pretty significant. And if you take 75 milligrams of zinc, that's the dose that was most effective in studies, 75 milligrams of zinc, every day, that can reduce your symptoms by the 2 days and limit your total illness to about 7 days. So no more of that lingering, you know, symptom complex that seems to drag on for the better part of a month. And zinc will drop your symptoms of like nasal drainage, nasal congestion, sinus congestion. Doesn't really help with cough, but very effective. And we've talked about other vitamins like C, vitamin D, vitamin A that are also really helpful for boosting the immune system and limiting symptoms of colds and flus.
Now, could that also help with coronavirus, or we just don't know at this time?
No, I think it does. You know, we've been treating coronavirus here in my office for 7 straight months, and I feel like these vitamins are definitely an important part of what we do here to treat patients. We know that some of the countries where coronavirus has hit people the hardest, and including some of the states that have hit that have been hit hardest by coronavirus, are those where vitamin D levels tend to be the lowest. So getting your vitamin D level up, taking vitamin C at doses of 1,000 to 2,000 milligrams a day, very helpful. And A is particularly helpful against the lung implications and damage due to viruses. And many people forget that vitamin A is really helpful for colds and flus.
Dr. Hurt, are you seeing any of these so-called COVID long haulers, people who have COVID-19, they get over it, and then they start developing, in some cases, crippling fatigue, problems with concentration, memory, dizzy spells, joint pain, and even hair loss? Long haulers.
Yes, I have seen some of those patients. Fortunately, I will tell you that it's a small percentage. I can probably tell you that I've seen, out of the hundreds of COVID patients I've treated, probably three who have long-haul kind of symptoms, exactly as you described. It's extremely rare. It's more common for people to sort of linger with COVID. So having those kinds of symptoms, not necessarily the hair loss, but the fatigue, coughing, shortness of breath, chest pain, that can go on for a couple of months, particularly if they had really deep COVID, like really deep in their lungs and had a long, you know, terrible episode of chest pain and shortness of breath, that tends to continue. But for most people, 3 weeks and you're done. Again, even better for those who are younger. And these long haulers, it does happen, but it's uncommon.
Well, Dr. Hurt, let me ask you this then. For people who have had, and you say you've dealt with hundreds of patients who've had COVID-19, what's the process what do you do after you've finished with COVID-19? Again, you didn't have to be hospitalized. You're home. You were sick for a while. What's the procedure afterwards before you can start going back into public again?
Well, the main thing is to make sure that you're not contagious. You don't want to be spreading this to other people and sharing that kind of misery. And so as long as you haven't had symptoms for 3 days, 72 hours, no fever, no cough, no shortness of breath, chest pain, no abdominal symptoms, forgetting that many people have abdominal symptoms like diarrhea, pain. And when you have abdominal symptoms and respiratory symptoms, that means you have a serious case of COVID and definitely want to make sure you get medical attention sooner than later. That's a combination that we've learned is particularly problematic for people, particularly who are older or who have comorbid conditions. But after a few days of no symptoms, then most people are ready to start, you know, getting back. I will tell you that sometimes people's symptoms resolve, but I can still see COVID effects in their blood. I can still see the inflammation. Sometimes it affects the liver. And so I tell them, don't go back to work. Don't get out of quarantine until we watch all of those blood tests come back to normal. That's an indication that your disease has completely resolved.
Now, months into this pandemic, we're still getting new information about masks, and LG just unveiled this battery-powered air-purifying face mask. Do you think it's worth the investment?
You know, I've not seen the one from LG, but masks are a problem because people really don't understand what masks do and what works. We know that masks work. That's why doctors wear them when we're examining COVID patients. Primarily, though, we're using the N95 mask. That's the most important level of mask protection because it filters out 95% of these small, you know, aerosolized particles. But most Americans don't have access to those because of shortages and they're very expensive. However, you can do some of that on your own. You can make a medical mask that works about 90% as good as an N95 mask. And here's how you do it. You have to create a medical mask, and the way you do that is by having two outer layers that are woven, like cotton, and in between you need to put in something called melt-blown polyethylene, which sounds like a big, long word, but basically it's the same thing that disposable diapers and baby wipes are made of. So you don't have to strap a Huggies to your face. However, you can use those same materials by taking two dry baby wipes and putting them between the two cloth layers of your mask. And then studies show that if you take your nylon gaiter and you wrap that around your face so that the mask is tight to your face and there's no or less air coming in and out or leaking around the mask, that works 90% as well as an N95. Very cheap to make, and that's what people, especially vulnerable people, should be using to protect themselves from COVID. And I don't know why that's not better publicized. I don't know why the public health authorities are not teaching people how to make a mask that works as well, nearly 90% as well as an N95 mask. But that's how you do it. That's the secret.
Some very good advice. Dr. Hurt, thank you so much.
My pleasure, guys.
Dr. Michael Hurt with the Center for Integrative Medicine in Tarzana. We answer your coronavirus questions every weekday afternoon at this time, also 7:45 weekday mornings. You can email them to coronaquestions@knx1070.com.